I was talking to somebody, with somebody this week, and we were saying that we would like to hear happy news. And we don't read that. We don't see that because bad news sell. We would like to have wonderful news, great news. But most of the time, what covers the news are people that seems to have the power to say something, the power to do something, and it affects everything in our society. I remember he was on the news many, many months and weeks, and he says something like this: I know what to do, I know what the best people, I always win, knock on wood, is what I do, I beat people, I win. That's what he said. And it looked like if the Americans follow what he says, they are going to be all right. It looks as if that is the situation. And we could have another leader in the world. But a few months ago, I was in the underground, and I was reading a very interesting piece of article, and it was about Oxford Wycliffe Hall Theological College. And I want to just put it to you as it was on the paper. And the article says this: thanks to Oxford Wycliffe Hall Theological College, as it launches to adopt gender-neutral language, they are invited to replace son with child and stop calling God he. Scoff if you like, but this may not be a point of political correctness so much as theology. By any sophisticated account, God is unlikely to be gendered in a recognizable way. God has not had a bear. He's not a man. That was what was written. It looks like as if this college knows exactly what to do in theology. So it seems to know, they seem to know better than us. They are telling us what to do when referring to God. So we are struggling life having these voices from big leaders, big theologians, those who appear to know more than us. In our first thing in our 8-week series, Faithfulness, Fruitfulness on the Front Line, we study about the big picture. Do you remember? So God is the creator of the universe, the Lord of the cosmos, and he was saying to this church in Colossae, a church made up of ordinary men and women who farm crops, look after sheep, dyeing wools, selling wools, ordinary people. They have slaves in that context, essentially scrapping a living. And he said to them, Christ is the Lord of the world, the creator. He is the Lord of the church. And he invited us to be part of his project, which is to reconcile his creation with him. And that's what we are to do, to proclaim Christ as Lord. And he wrote this wonderful chapter where he says the supremacy of Christ. But then later, last Sunday, we were studying about modeling godly character. I want to do something, if I want to be a soldier for Christ, if I want to be a Christian, I have to model my character. That was my subject last week. But then the reality is that we have these big pictures there, these great leaders. We have these theological colleges that seems to know better than us. So how do I fit in this big picture? Where is my place in this big picture? I invite you to pay attention to the Apostle Paul when he sent this letter to the church in Colossae. How do I fit in this big picture? How can I make a good work? How can I be relevant in my society? It's only them who are important, only those who are educated and they have PhD and doctor's degree in theology to dictate what the church have to do or not to do. Let's read Colossians. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 17. And I'm going to read to chapter 4 and verse 1. So if you have your Bibles, turn to your Bibles. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version today. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And I finish in chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible said, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Verse 22, bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bond servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that you could guide us this morning. Father, we pray that may your Holy Spirit comes and minister to our hearts, minds, and lives. Holy Spirit, come and help us to receive the blessings that our Father has prepared for us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. There are some facts that we need to consider before we reflect upon this passage. So you could say, well, what is this all about? Well, Paul is dealing with the household, hence the headings that you may have in your Bibles. Maybe in your Bible, when you open your Bible, you will read rules for holy living, rules for Christian household, rules for the family. Paul is dealing with the family in a broader context. How a home should function in the life and light of Jesus Christ under his lordship. If a family has invited Christ into their home, this is how they should live. But at the same time, there are key verses, and that's what I intend to reflect upon this morning in the next few minutes. And are those related to the relation between slaves and masters? And this, in most occasions, is applied to the relation between an employer and an employee. Yes, there are some lessons about this relation, but we need to remember that primarily he is addressing the house. And here we could have some principles for those working for Christ. Yes, this is in another context, this is in another century, but here we could have some principles that could be applied for us. And the first word I just want to bring your attention is in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. In the King James Version, New King James Version says, "Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh." Obey your masters. But I want you to picture Paul sending the letter to the church in Colossae. Mom, dad, uncles, aunties, children, and the servants are there. The bond servants are there. Paul addresses the family, and he includes the bond servants, the slaves there. He's about to teach us something. He has spent a long time talking about this relationship between bond servants and masters. All of them are including in Jesus. They have to remember who has the authority. Maybe the master is there. The dad is looking around. And say, as the letter goes, they are going to be reminded who is the master. The first word is slave in some translations, and we need to be careful with this word. Bond servants or slaves come from the word doulos, and is defined from this Greek word, and is defined as, first, one definition is a slave, bondman, a man of servile condition. The second definition is devoted to another, to the disregard of one's own interests. And another one is a servant, an attendant. That is the word there. But the best definition is this: devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. Shall we read that together, the words in yellow? Devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. This is what Paul is going to start teaching those in that church to us. It will be misleading. That's the problem. It will be misleading to consider the concept of a slave in British history. That's not the concept. It will be misleading if we consider the American slavery in the 18th century. Wrong. Wrong. I am not a doctor in this subject. I don't try to be. But I have to find information. I am reading my Bible. I have to teach. And then they so have to consider those who knows. And then there is a book called Every Good Endeavor by Timothy Keller, and he makes some conclusions, and he says this: the slavery of this ancient world, talking about here as we are talking about the church in Colossae, was not race-based. Oftentimes it was not lifelong. The slavery was not supply. So the moment we have in our minds British history or American history, that's not the same concept. Often, the slaves were treated respectively. The average was 10 years. And if you read the book, he tried to explain that, how he came to those conclusions. A person could enter into slavery willingly. Slaves can own slaves. They were doctors, administrators, professors. Those were the slaves that we are talking about, the bond servants Paul is talking about when he is sitting in that church, when he is sending the letter to that church, and they are sitting together listening. Now, I want you to understand, because we sing and we sang this, the hymns today, I want to be a servant to God. I want to be, that's what we want to be. But let's understand what is the meaning of that word. The word bond servant, slave or servant, is applied metaphorically to someone absolutely devoted to Jesus. Paul, Timothy, James, Peter, and Jude describe themselves as bond servants of Christ. Romans chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, James chapter 1, Jude. We are called to be bond servants. If we don't understand the meaning, we are in trouble. The best definition, remember, shall we say it together? Devoted to one. That is what you are if you say, I am a Christian. This is what I am. Now, one scholar put it like this: a bond servant is to love as Christ loved, to walk as Christ walked. Being a bond servant is standing strong in the word of God while seeking God first above all else. Everything is secondary to your relationship with Him. Today, I would like just to explore three principles as we read this letter. What Paul is trying to teach us. Remember, Christianity is not about wearing a fish or wearing just a cross. I'm not saying that you should not wear it, Andrew. But But it's beyond that. Oh, I was baptized. I am a member of the church. I am a minister. I am a deacon. Principle for those working for Christ. You know the first principle is, shall we say it together? My whole life belongs to Jesus. My whole life. It's not just a bit. I am a Christian on Sundays, and on Monday I am something else. On Tuesday, something else. And you wear different hats. I wear, you know, I could be like that. Paul says here in the Colossians, as he sent the letter, says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything. My whole life belongs to Jesus. He says, whatever you do, verse 23, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. In the first century context, much of what Paul is saying is countercultural. We're gonna see why. His call to wives to submit to their husbands will not raise many eyebrows. So the husband is there. Listen. You know, when I do the preparation for marriage and you bring these verses, you can sense, you know, the groom. So that was okay. But, he says, but when he says to the husband, that was radical. You literally, he's saying, you are to die for your wife. That wasn't on. He's the guy who has the, well, I don't know, the money, everything. That was countercultural. So Paul is radical. This is something new going on here. Paul is dealing with the duty of slaves in the context of the families because slaves were considered part of the household. This was not an open letter to have slaves in our time. He says, obey, you are not doing it to people, you will do it to the Lord. Do it with all your heart. Husband, love your wife with all your heart, even if it's a difficult one. Wife, love your husband, even if he was the most horrible man. So I, you know, so you would not say. Children, obey your parents. There is a promise there. When you honor your parents, you will be blessed. You will have long life. It's a promise. Paul is dealing with something deep here. So what will change if they do this? Okay. Oh my. You know, the slaves are there. The wives are there. The husbands are there. The children are there. And they says, what will change? Well, he's talking to the bond servants now. He says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord, as a reward, it is the Lord you are serving. Serve them. Be loyal because you are serving God. In one Bible commentary says, in Rome, slaves have no hope in those days. Now we are talking another context, Rome. More than half of the people seen on the streets of the great cities of Roman world were slaves. This is the Roman context. And this was the status of the majority of professional people, such as teachers and doctors, as well as menials and craftsmen. Slaves were people with no rights, mere property, existing only for the comfort, convenience, and pleasure for their owners. That is wrong. But Paul is saying the bond servants has an inheritance in Christ. He's talking to the Christian people there, to these bond servants who are there in that church. And Paul later, he says, this is something new. Galatians chapter 3 verse 28 says, there is neither what? Jew, nor Greek, a slave, nor free, male, nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Different. This is radical. What is the first principle? My whole life belongs to Jesus. I am a husband. My whole life belongs to Jesus. I am a wife. My whole life belongs to Jesus. I am a father. I am a child. I am an employer. I am an employee. My whole life belongs to Jesus. That's the first principle. Now, the second principle here is relationships are two ways. Shall we say? Relationships are two ways. Most of the time, we feel that it's only one way. To be honest. My whole life belongs to Jesus. Second principle, relationships are two ways. There is reciprocity. In the various duties described here between husband and wife, what else? Children and parents, what else? Slaves and masters. Two ways. In relationships, something could go wrong. Disagreements, misinterpretations, or bad attitudes. Colossians chapter 3 verse 25 says, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Tonight, if you have time, we are going to be expanding on that. Something could go wrong. That's the reality. In your home, in the church, in everything we do. But if someone does something wrong, you don't worry. Do you know that a statistic says if you send people to the mission field, you know what is it that affects the mission field? It's not the language. It's not the culture. What do you reckon? Thank you. They are in the mission field, 2-3 families or 10 people, and it's not the language. It's not the culture. It's not the weather. Relationships. I don't want to talk about to this man. And this is people leading. And there is no mission. You see the point? It's two ways. In churches. The Sunday school teachers are fighting with the pastor. The pastor is fighting with the worship leader. The people there serving in the different things. Yeah. Church goes nowhere. Shall we say together? Relationships are two ways. Relationships are two ways. So if someone does something wrong to you, do not worry. God is in charge. He said he will repay for what he has done or she has done. And let's go a little bit ahead and to understand. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 tonight. Today I want just to try to put everything together. Colossians chapter 4, let's read a little bit further, 7 to 9, says this. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for this pressing purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your heart. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. So what is the point here? Well, let me explain. Onesimus is what? A slave. A bond servant. He was a runaway slave. And he ended up with whom? With Paul. You know, Paul, my master is bad. He's a bad man. And I don't know what he was saying. Onesimus, maybe, I don't want to go back. And we feel that he's a wonderful servant, a wonderful minister of the gospel. His master is sitting there. Onesimus' master is sitting there. His name, according to some of the scholars, is Philemon. And he's sitting there, the master, and the other slaves or bond servants are sitting there and listening to the letter. What Paul is going to say? What Paul is going to say? Paul is not endorsing slavery. Paul is trying to make sure the slaves or the bond servants understand the responsibility to their master in heaven. But also their masters, in every single individual in their society, have to understand that God is in control and our relationships are what? Two ways. Because we are to give account of our actions to God. It's not only for the slave and the master, for husband and wife, for parents and children. And finally, he says here, motivation should be Christ-centered. Shall we say? Motivation. Everything we do it for Christ. That's what we were singing this morning. Verse 18, as you read, let's go again to chapter, Colossians chapter 3. And we are going to see how Paul develops his teaching. Verse 18, wives submit to your own husband because it's fitting in the Lord. He mentions the word the Lord. Now verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing for the Lord. And then verse 23, again he mentions the Lord. Verse 23, it says, bond servants, whatever you do it well in reverence for the Lord. So when they do something, they don't know doing it for their master. They're doing it for whom? For God. And then he goes to the masters in verse 1 when we finished this morning. They say, because you know you have a master in heaven. Be careful what you do here because you have a master in heaven. And Paul later he says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for what? For the glory of God. When I treat my children well, I'm not doing it for them. For whom? To give glory to God. When I treat my wife or you treat your husband well, you are not doing it for them. You are doing it for God. When children, you honor your parents, you are doing it for God. And we have only two places that we could be. We could be a slave to God, or servants to God, or servant for Christ, soldiers for Christ, or we could be against him. There is no in between. There is no in between. When we are not with God, we are a slave to sin. Sorry. There's only two options. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 20, when you were a slave to sin, on the other side, you were free from the control of righteousness. So God will not control you. But when you were a slave to God, who is in control? The Holy Spirit producing gifts in our lives to do a good work. But now, what masters do we have in our lives? What masters? Because it's either two. Greed. Maybe you don't realize and you have greed. Lust. Nobody knows that you are fighting with lust. Or maybe you have prejudice. You are a slave to that. Or pride. Or you are a slave to drugs abuse. To any other addiction. What master do we have in our lives? Because we either with God or against God. Our society tends to feel that we have in between. There is no in between. As I conclude today, the Lord Jesus Christ says this in the book of John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Hold it. The society is saying something different. Hold it. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Are you struggling with an addiction today? You can be free today. Are you struggling with bitterness in your heart? You can be free today. That's what, hold to my teaching, said Jesus. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been a slave of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Only Jesus can set you free. Not because you have been baptized or being a member of a church. Not because you were born and grew up in a Christian country. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, and now we have these voices, we have these leaders, and then we have elections coming up, and some people say, oh, if only this part, I will not mention any party, this party is in power, everything's going to change. No. No. Jesus says, tonight we'll be talking about all the nations will hate you because my name. I'm sorry to be gloomy, but that's the reality. No. Paul is sending a warning to us. He is saying this passage is not what to do to have a better marriage, to have better children, to be a better work. It's about demonstrating to society that there is a way out of the mess we tend to make as human beings. There is something new here. Maybe you are a mom. That looks like an octopus sometimes, mom, isn't it? This one is cooking on the computer in Facebook, I think. And the other one... It's cleaning, doing the shopping. Yeah. You are there, and you are called to do a good work for Christ. But think about the principles. Maybe you are a hard-working man. You work hard. Fine enough. And but you are called to do a good work for Christ. Maybe you are a student. Whether we are husband, wife, parents, children, employers, or employees, or some combination of those, we are to think about our role here, having in mind that Christ is the Lord of the universe and that who we are. It doesn't matter what your role is in life. We are to work as unto the Lord, period. Maybe you have the most horrible boss, the most undesirable. They still deserve the best work we can do. No matter who is ruling the country or in places of authorities, we are to produce the best. The best. That is what Paul is teaching. Principle for those working for Christ. Remember, what is the first one? What is the second one? Somebody did something wrong to you. Don't worry, God is in control. He will do what is right. And finally, everything we do should be Christ-centered. We all have the same master. Even those who have not recognized God in their lives, let us be sure that we all do our work for Him, whether in our families, among our friends, whether employer or employee, so that our God is glorified. I would like to finish this morning. And I want you to sing again, stand up for Jesus. We finish with that song. Because there is so much truth in it. And we are called to stand up for Jesus. But not to fight, but to follow the servant king who died for us. And he's calling us to redeem his creation.